Let's start reading, if you would, please, in 1 Kings chapter 8. I'd like to start down here in verse number 54. It says this, "And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. And he stood, and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel. According to all that he promised, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. Now watch this. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us, nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers." Skip down with me, if you would please, to verse number 66. The Bible says, "And on the eighth day, he sent the people away and they blessed the king and went unto their tents joyful and glad of heart for all the goodness that the Lord had done for David his servant and for Israel, his people." If you would please, let's pray just for a minute. And if you don't mind, I'd like to pray and ask God to speak to us tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I have really been blessed by having been here this week. Lord, I appreciate it. And I feel very, very heavy about the responsibility that's before me right now. What a great meeting you've given to us. What a great spirit. What a blessing that I've personally received from this church and from these preachers. And Lord, I want you to make me a blessing tonight. I want to leave here, Lord, with the right spirit. I want to make you proud. I want to make you happy. I want to make you, Lord, blessed. And Father, I pray that you do that, Lord. If you do it, I'll be sure to give the glory and the honor to whom it is due, and that is to the Lord Jesus Christ. Help the people that are here tonight. May Jesus Christ be glorified. Preachers, help churches, and especially tonight, Lord, this church. May they be blessed and strengthened and leave here, Lord. It's normal for us to get discouraged when a meeting this good is over, but help us to leave here blessed and joyful in heart and head back to our homes. And Lord, bring a little bit of blessing and joy back with us, that what you did here this week would not stay here, but that it'd go home with us and that it would spread to other places, that the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified. I pray it in the name of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I got to looking at this thing a little while back, and a whole lot has gone on leading up to this point. There was a lot taking place in the background, and now they've dedicated the temple, a beautiful thing that it was, a wonderful thing that it was, a lot of work that had gone in. And Solomon prays a very long prayer, and he pours his heart out to the Lord, and he's dedicating that temple and praying before those people. And then I noticed here in verse 54, it says, when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication of the Lord, that he rose up from before the altar of the Lord, kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. I got thinking about what a powerful man he was, what a rich man he was, how beautiful a job he had just done, and yet he humbled himself in front of all those people to kneel before God and to pray and to seek the face of God and to lay out some groundwork between him and God, knowing that the day was coming down the road when Israel would mess up, knowing human nature and realizing, Lord, I know right now there's a great victory. Something great has been done, but in the future, bad things are going to happen. And God, if you'd hear from heaven when your people get messed up and they pray toward this place, God, please remember to forgive us down the road for our future failures that we know are coming because we're sinners. God, please, he prays this prayer and then he stands up in front of all those people and look at verse 55 and bless all the congregation of Israel. That's an interesting thought. He wanted to bless those people. And you'll notice how he did it. He blessed them with a loud voice.
Yeah. Amen.
It's okay to bless the Lord with a loud voice every once in a while. You go to the ball game and get all fired up about it, right? I mean, something you're into, and when you're into it and you're excited about it, you'll let it rip, man. You'll scream, you'll yell, you'll shout, you'll holler. But then when it comes to God, we want to get all laid back and chilled out. While I was here this week, and I don't think it's anybody here, I'm going to say this real nice because I mean it nice. I got the kindest, I think, angry email I've ever gotten in my life. The individual said, "I'm praying for you. I don't know what is wrong with the preacher that is so full of rage, but you must be in some great spiritual battles to be so angry in the pulpit. I only made it through 13 minutes of your message and I couldn't take it anymore. God bless you." Hey, just because I get a little bit fired up about what I'm preaching doesn't mean I'm mad. I believe that Jesus Christ is real. I believe God's going to do something. I believe the book I hold in front of me today, and I get a little excited about it, and that seems to be all right with God. But wait. It says he blessed them with a loud voice, saying. Now, I got thinking about that. I want to pay attention to how he blessed them, because he blessed them with a loud voice, and then it qualifies how he blessed the people. Look at the verse. Blessed be the Lord. He didn't bless the people by saying, "Blessed be our clique." He didn't bless the people by saying, "Blessed be our club." He blessed the people by saying, "Hey, folks, I want to give you a blessing. Let me tell you something. Bless the Lord God Almighty. We got a great God. We got a wonderful God. We got a glorious God. There's a God here worth serving. All that we've done is for His holy name. Before you go home, praise God for God." Amen. I got thinking about what that meant, because I want to bless people. I really do. I want to bless the Lord. Because I have been doing it just long enough to realize that if people are my motive, that motive will come to an end. So my motive has to be my Savior. And if I'm ever going to be a blessing to anybody, I got to learn to be a blessing to the Lord. To bless means to make happy, to praise, to glorify, to magnify, to extol. Kids, you want to bless your parents? And you should want to bless your parents. Trust me. Your parents know how to bless you back. And curse you. You want to bless your parents? Bless the Lord. You want to bless your wife, gentlemen? You better bless the Lord. You want to bless your husbands, lady? You got to bless the Lord. Amen. You want to bless each other, church? You want to bless your preacher? Bless the Lord. Amen. Preachers, you want to bless your churches? Bless the Lord. He is why we're here. He is what this is all about. And there's some reasons in this text, and I'm going to try to move quick. You've listened to so much preaching this week, and you're so packed in, and I'm sweating like a pig, and I haven't stopped since I got here. It is hot. I know what you mean about Walmart at night, preacher. I see the last night they were wearing hoodies and winter caps. I'm thinking, what in the world, man? But there are some reasons to bless the Lord if you just give me a couple of minutes. The Bible says in verse number 56, "Blessed be the Lord, why? That He have given rest unto His people, Israel." I'm thankful that there's a God in heaven that gives us some rest. Do you remember the day that you came to Jesus Christ laboring and heavy laden? You know what He said? "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It is a blessing to have some rest from the past. I'm glad I'm not shoveling that old stuff anymore. I'm glad Jesus Christ loved me, and when I came to Him and asked Him to forgive me and asked Him to save my soul and put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, He gave rest unto my soul. I know my sins are forgiven. I know where I'm going when I die. And I'm thankful that there's some rest provided by Jesus Christ. Here's one for you, pastors. He says, "My yoke is easy." and my burden is light. We preachers talk a lot about the troubles and trials of the ministry, and I know they're legit. I'm not putting that down. But I'm saying if all it ever is constant troubles and trials and burden all the time, then something might be wrong with us. Because He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm not saying there's not a yoke, and I'm not saying there's not a burden. But I know this, when Jesus Christ is in it with me, then I'm able to do whatever He said to do, even if it's greater than what I'm capable of doing. Because Jesus Christ He offers some rest. And I bless God Almighty that there is rest in what it is we are doing. He's a God of rest. I've found my life's purpose. And I'm happy in it. I'm not looking for the answers anymore. I found the answer.
Amen.
I'm not looking for something to fill my time and entertain me. I've found satisfaction, and that satisfaction is in God Almighty, and I bless the Lord for the rest that He's given me. Yes, I'm in the ministry, and yes, there's times it's hard, and yes, there are burdens and heartaches and sorrows and frustrations, and what the preacher was saying the other day, that storm in your head, even when everything is going on around you that looks good. Listen, it's a crazy thing that sometimes when everything is going great, the devil has a way of starting a storm between your ears that makes no sense at all. Say, what's going on with you? Everything's going so good. I can't explain it, but there's a storm going on in here, and I've found that He can give rest no matter what's going on. So I don't plan, by the grace of God, on going anywhere. Because I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. Well, them wide seas don't have nothing to offer. They got nothing to offer. They'll hook you, they'll drag you in, they'll sink you, they'll drown you, they'll crush you, they'll scare you, they'll break your heart. But there's rest in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Bless the Lord, because His promises are fulfilled. There's a reliability to the Word of God. Look at verse 56. According to all that He promised. Whoa, wait, what? There hath not failed one word of all His good promise, which He promised by the hand of Moses, His servant. Not one good word. Are you thankful for God's promises?
Yes.
You know what the devil will do to you? He'll quote Bible to you. That is one of the most powerful tactics the devil will use against a Christian. Especially a Bible-believing Christian. When he can't get you to doubt it or twist it or change it, he will throw it up in your face. How about this one, if you don't mind me getting a little personal? Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Now, wait a minute. If your kids grew up to serve God, great. That one you run around quoting off the top of your head all the time, and I obviously did it right. But I know some people who tried it harder than you and I and tried to do it right. And their kids get a little bit older. And they don't do what Mama and Daddy trained them to do, because they're individuals and they make their own choices. And you know what the devil will say? Well, God was so good. Can I tell you something about God's promises? He fulfills them. Not one good word that He says ever falls short. Brother, over 20 years ago now, I surrendered to the call to preach. I'd been struggling with it for about 6 years. And I went to my dad at one point with a Bible verse, because God showed me something. It was between me and the Lord. My dad was pastoring the town I'm in right now. And the church had just split. Things had gotten real bad. And I was so stupid. I heard somebody else say that. I was so stupid. I remember running into the kitchen and saying, hey, Dad, look at that. David couldn't do it because he was a great man of God and fought all the battles, but God just showed me he's going to have me do it here. And that didn't go so good. And then many years later, when God put me back up there and started doing something, you know what came back to my mind? Something God, many years later, something God promised me. I called you up there. I do what I call you to do.
Amen.
If God calls you to do something, sooner or later, His promises come through. I'm thankful for the promises of God that are fulfilled. I'm thankful for the presence of God that can be felt. Look at verse 57. The Lord our God be with us as He was with our fathers. Let Him not leave us nor forsake us, that He may incline our hearts unto Him to walk in all His ways and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments which He commanded our fathers. Notice right there in verse 57, the Lord our God be with us. Boy, I bless the Lord for His promises fulfilled. I search this book for promises. I read. I seek His face. I ask Him. I look for it. I want to know the promises of God. I look for the promises of God. And I'm thankful for that. But let me tell you one thing about some of those promises. You may not see some of those promises come through in your timing and in my timing. And in that interim period between the promise and the fulfillment thereof, the devil can get in there and he can get you bitter and he can get you angry and he can get you frustrated, and that's wear and tear of time and sorrow and disappointment and letdown and failures. Hey, what you need in the process is the presence of Almighty God more than the very breath in your lungs.
Amen.
Bless God for His presence. Boy, I've seen it in some of our fathers. I've seen it in some of the older preachers. And I'm tired of hearing the excuses about the day and age that we live in, because God has always been there and we're still here. So He ain't done yet. When He's done, He'll get us out of here into His presence with all the promises fulfilled. In the meanwhile, give me something of what they got.
Amen.
And like Brother Wheeler said, it's not the man. It is the God of the mantle.
Amen.
Years ago, Brother Peacock gave me a huge encouragement. I'm not even sure he remembers or realized he did. I think it was the first time he came up to our church. He said to me afterwards, he said, "You have Brother Lentz's fingerprints on you." No, Brother Lentz used to say, "You don't know how to preach, I do. You're trying to prove you can preach. I know I can." And of course, what I thought was, my, isn't he arrogant? He ain't humble like me. You know what he said? "Copy me till you figure out how to do it on your own." And then he said, "Imitation is the most sincere form of flattery." You know what a stupid young preacher will do? "I don't want people to think I'm just copycatting him because I'm my own man." Hey, listen. If a guy is good at what he does and knows what he's doing, then I'm humble enough to say, "How do you do that? Hey, man, show me that. Run that by me again. What just happened? That was good. I guess I got a promotion this week because I'm a midget Jim Lentz now." I loved it. But you know what it really is? It's the God that manifested Himself through the preaching of His Word. And what I know is I need, more than to ever be a great preacher, I need the presence of God in my life. And I bless His name that He'd even be willing to spend time with me. I think I mentioned to you last year that there was a couple of guys in my church that are right around my age. They're brothers. One's a little older, one's a little younger. And their grandpa had taken them to church for their whole life. Grandpa was a deacon at the Southern Baptist Church, and forgive him, Matt. He's a good man. Ran the bus ministries, helped the preacher preach, build the new sanctuary. Faithful, faithful, faithful. Raised his kids in church. His son got saved and grew up in church, came up in church. Well, his son is the father of the two guys that have been in my church. When the son had a little baby girl, I think she was 2 or 3 years old, the little girl died. And he was done. He was in his mid-30s there. It was before the boys were born, I believe. Dad was done. Dad dropped out of church. Done. Don't forget now, Grandpa's been in church, still in church, helping the preacher put on the sanctuary, faithful to God, running buses all over town. I have 2 or 3 ladies in my 60s, in their 60s, that used to ride his bus to church. They're in my church now. But his son wasn't in church. His boys have been in my church for 10 years. You know what I've heard for 10 years? Pray for my dad. He ain't said one word about the Lord, good or bad. He'll bow his head when we pray at family meals, but he won't say nothing. He won't pray. He won't come to church. Well, Dad wound up in the hospital, and so I figured I'd go up there and see him. Now, he's an old boy from Kentucky. He still has his accent. He's been in Michigan forever, but he still has an accent. Whole family still has an accent. He said, when I got out of here, I'm coming to your church. You came to see me in the hospital, I'm coming to your church. I left there and went, wow, man, what in the world? Well, he's been in church. Faithful, 70 years old, every Sunday. Like clockwork. Hanging around, fellowshipping afterwards. After almost 40 years out of church. You know what happened? Dad passed away. 90-something years old. Grandma, we call her Grandma Noble. When Dad passed away, Grandma Noble started coming to our church. She said, that old Baptist church over there, we just stayed because we've been there forever, but they ain't preaching no more. I need some preaching. Grandma Noble's been coming to church like clockwork. She was married to Grandpa Noble for 70 years. And they were the sweetest old couple, man. They were in love. I mean, they were a great example. One day she's at the back and she says, preacher. I said, yes, she said, I want you to come. I want you to talk to me this week. Will you come over and see me? I said, yes, ma'am, I will. She said, good, you come see me. I got some things I got to tell you about. So it sounds good. She said, I was there in the old days when First Baptist was getting going and God was doing something. And I'm telling you, God's doing something here. And I just got some things I got to tell you about. I said, I'll be there, ma'am. I showed up at Grandma Noble's house and sat across the table from her. And she tried to give me a bunch of cookies and all kinds of stuff. You know what she said to me? She said, I never one time ever stayed the night alone in this house in 70 years. And she said, when Gordon Noble passed away, I thought, good Lord, what am I going to do? I've never stayed alone one night in this house in 70 years. And she said, Pastor, I'm not kidding you. The Lord showed up. And Jesus was here, and I took my Bible, and I read my Bible, and I went to bed, and I slept like a baby. Because His presence is more important than anything you could possibly have in this world. It'll get you through anything when He shows up. Bless the Lord for His presence. Did you preach to her? Are you nuts? Did you give her verses? Not one. She's sitting at the table. The phone rings. You're not going to believe who's here. It's our favorite pastor. Next thing you know, Jack Jr., who's 70, comes walking in the door. Hey, brother! We stood around having fellowship, and I'm trying not to cry. I'm like, man, Lord, how am I going to preach to this lady? She knows you better than I do. Can I just say that life is full of ups and downs and heartbreaks and sorrows, and the devil walks in there in those times between what you know God said and what you know God can do and what you believe God will do because you believe and bless God for His promises. And it's between that time and the time that those promises are actually fulfilled that you've desperately got to have the presence of Almighty God, because if you don't have it, the devil's going to move in there and get in your head and tell you God forgot about you, tell you God's a liar. God's not going to do it. And I'm telling you, if you don't know the presence of God, then you're not going to make it through the disappointments and unfair heartbreaks of life. But I'm telling you, man, there is something about that heartbreak. There's something about that disappointment. There's something about those times, boy, when that worship is actually a sacrifice. When blessing God and praising God and thanking God and coming to church and lifting up the name of God and singing those songs and praise the Lord, thank you, Lord. And the devil says, yeah, but what about? Since you've been serving Him, this has happened and that has happened and the other thing has happened. And if God really loved you, hey, you got to bless His name if you're ever going to be a blessing to anybody else, even in the times that the promises don't seem to be ever about to come through. Got to have His presence. And I bless God for His presence in my life. But there's a time when that's a sacrifice. I'll give you my last one and we'll be done. I bless God for the fact that He's going to perform His purposes. He says in verse 59, and let these my words wherewith I've made supplication before the Lord be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that He may maintain the cause of His servant and the cause of His people Israel at all times as the matter shall require. That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in His statutes and to keep His commandments as at this day. The king and all Israel with Him offered sacrifice before the Lord. You realize that there's things coming in the future, don't you? At the end of verse 59, He says, as the matter shall require. You know what scares me the most? Scares me the most is what I don't know. Amen. I do not know whether or not my kids are going to grow up to do what I've tried to teach them. Amen. Boy, that testimony this morning was a real help to me. It was a real blessing to me. But we're trying to raise our kids in a very different world. It's tough. Amen. It's tough for adults.
Yeah,
that's why I'm thankful for a local church. Amen. I want to be a blessing to them. I better learn to bless the Lord.
Amen.
This is where we do it.
Right.
Thankful for a place to bring them.
Amen.
Where it's not just dad who's the crazy nut. The raging preacher. Well, there's other people raging too.
Amen.
I'm thankful for you all. It's been a help to my family.
Amen.
But I don't know what the future's going to hold. You know what I want to do? I want to finish my course with joy. I really want to get to the end, man. See, man, I never, ever, ever in a million years ever thought would ever quit on God, quit. Fancy myself to be pretty stubborn and bullheaded. But I've seen men I wouldn't want to mess with hit a point. I don't know what my future holds. And that does scare me. My heart breaks when I see people that mention a preacher who fell into sin. Preachers. My heart breaks when somebody mentions the name of a preacher who fell into sin. It might be gossip to you, but it's not gossip to me.
Amen.
You might want to know the details, but I don't.
Amen.
Because there's not a man in this room other than the presence of Jesus Christ. My heart breaks for the people that put their trust in Him and had followed Him and His leadership. And felt the Spirit of God convict them while He was preaching. And then they say, wow, well, I wonder if all those promises were actually real. I wonder if that presence was actually real. And the devil gets a control of the performance of the furtherance of God's work. Because in that process, it broke down. I don't rejoice in those things. But can I say this? God is not done yet. And I sure hope I get to stick around and see what He's doing.
Amen.
I believe with all my heart God's going to perform some things and God's going to do a work. Bible Believers Baptist Church, we need you. You've heard how much we need your preacher, and I think we all know that, gentlemen. You all know that. Church, you've heard that expressed over and over and over again. Every one of us could give you stories of how God set us up with Him. Now, here you go, man worshiping. Read your Bible. You're just jealous we won't follow you. He helped us. God showed up. God's presence was real. I didn't plan on this because I don't like getting personal. But then, brother, where are you at? His name is gone. Jared, right? Pilkington. Brother Pilkington. You in here? He left. He messed me up this morning. Hopefully he watches later. You guys hide them, can't? Well, there they are. He said, we don't like to ever open ourselves up at all. And as a result, me and the Lord have been wrestling about this all day long, man. He helped us. No, we weren't about to get divorced. It was murder. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No details. We were in a situation where we were trying to do the best we knew how. And it was a bad situation with some people that weren't worried about doing right about anything. We were trying to handle ourselves right, and she didn't know what to do, and I didn't know how to help her.
Amen.
We were handcuffed. Thank God for it. He walked up, and he saw a little interaction there with those blue eyes that look right straight through you.
Amen.
And he had the grace. Can I get a witness? And he had the grace to hold it back for a minute. And after church, we're upstairs and we're getting ready to get him in the car and get out the door. And he walks up to Grace, says, how you doing? She says, oh, thank you. He said, wipe the preacher's wife look off your face and tell me the truth. And she said, He said, "We're going to the restaurant." I said, "Yeah, we are." He helped us. That happened in a local church. Because you are willing to say, "Go, preacher." And my church knows how much he's helped us. And you're a good testimony. It's the performing of God's work, and more is getting done than what you and I know how. Than what you and I even understand, because it's the work of God. It can't all be seen. It can't all be evaluated. It can't all always be noticed. It can't all be judged. You may be in that interim period where, hey, His promises have not yet come through, but I believe this with all my heart, that the day is coming when every one of God's promises, every one of us will see fulfilled, and we will together bless His holy name for all that He has done.
Amen.
Some of you are praying for your kids. Keep praying. Grandma Noble's kid was almost 70 years old, 69 years old when he finally walked back into church.
Amen.
I'll be honest with you. There's a situation in my life I'm not going into details. I quit praying for. Did you realize you quit and start again? Nope. Sat down not long ago with some extended family members, and they brought up a name and they said, "Michael, how's so-and-so?" And I said, "No." They said, "I want you to know we pray every single day." I said, "Keep praying." "What's wrong, preacher? You doubt the promises of God?" "No. But I've come to a point where I'm going to rest myself in whatever God wants to do or doesn't want to do. Because I already know that no matter what, His promises are going to come through."
Amen.
If you're God and you make a promise, like a parent would make a promise to a child, "We're going to go to the ice cream shop soon." What's soon to you is not soon to them.
Amen.
And when God made a promise to you, that promise is going to happen.
Right.
Well, I know we evaluate 70, 80, 90, whatever you want to call old, but that ain't old to God. You realize that there's a millennial kingdom coming where all them kids that trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior and walked on away from church are coming back to fellowship. You realize there's a millennial kingdom coming when every prayer you've been praying and you need answered, God will answer. That day's coming where Jesus Christ is going to set everything, everything, everything right. He's going to restore it all, and all of His promises will 100% be fulfilled. God does not lie. So rest on His promises. And bless His name for His promises.
Amen.
There's some people that have hurt you. There's some people that have broke your heart. There's some things that can happen in life that make relationships unmendable. You forgive, you should forgive, you're a Christian. But sometimes I like to think about some of those heartbreaks and some of those situations and some of those things and just imagine in my mind. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly unto them. I like to sit in my office and stare out the window and just think about. Going for a walk. With some people that you love. Just talking a little bit. Fellowshipping. When there is no more strife, there's no more heartbreak, there's no more sorrow, there's no more dirty thoughts in your head, and I don't mean dirty in the sense of perverted, I mean dirty in the sense of unforgiveness and stress and frustration and issues and all that stuff that we all deal with if we're honest. That perfect peace. And in the meanwhile, folks, the closest I've ever got to that is right here in a local church. Fellowship of God. A fellowship of His presence. The performance of His Word. Now before I wrap it up here in verse number 66. I want to point out that King Solomon is the one that's writing this thing. King Solomon is the one that's praying this. King Solomon's the one that's blessing these people. And I got thinking about this because that's kind of a weird thing coming from him. Here's why. Something overshadows Solomon's whole life. It's the end of the story. You know the end of Solomon's story. Where did he learn to bless God? Where did Solomon learn how to bless God? From his old man. Said with respect. How did the old man learn to bless God? You ever go through Psalms and read when David's worshiping the Lord and blessing the Lord and lifting up the Lord? And then go to see what was going on in his life at the time that he wrote those things? Everybody busts on David for his mistake. Let me ask you a question. How did David finish?
Amen. Amen.
Can I say that it's that pain, it's that running from Saul, it's that heartbreak, it's that, God, how long is this going to drag on? God, really, what did I do? God, I could have fixed it. God, I could have got even. God, I could have got him. But I didn't, and now I'm going to get it again. That man learned to bless God in a way that lasted.
Amen.
Solomon never learned through the pain. Solomon got it handed to him and got instant success and quick growth. And Daddy stored up all this stuff and Solomon took it because he was wise and he invested it and he did better with it and went on. And all this big blow up of success in Solomon's life. But he missed all the pain. He knew how to voice the praise. But he hadn't been through the process. And as a result, he didn't finish right. And church, can I tell you, I would rather finish right. If it means I have to sign up for pain and for disappointment and for heartbreak and for sorrow, then give me those promises and that presence and that performance.
Amen.
Don't give me the shortcut.
Amen.
Now watch in verse 66. And they blessed the king. And went under their tents joyful and glad of heart. For all the goodness that the Lord had done for David his servant. And for Israel his people. Can I say this, church? You hear a lot that, you know, after a meeting, we're all disappointed, we're all discouraged, we're all going home bummed out because it's over. And that's a good sentiment. And I agree with that. I'm not correcting that. But could I maybe leave you with this? Let's try, pastors, we got to leave and go back to our churches. Let's try to take a little bit of what we caught this week home with us. Let's take some of that gladness and joyfulness of heart and say, man, God was good to us this week.
Amen.
And we're going to be a blessing to you. God dealt with me this week. And I'm here to be a blessing to you. Bible Believers Baptist Church, it has been good. And I believe I can confidently speak. I know for every preacher I've talked to, and say, we appreciate it. You've encouraged us. You've helped us. You've blessed us tremendously. You've represented your pastor and what we know of him very, very well. And we thank you for it. And we hope we've been a blessing to you. But if anything is going to last that God has started through him, we got to remember to bless the Lord. Exalt him, magnify him, extol him, pour it out on him. Even if you're in that interim period, it is going to happen if he said it. Pastor.